One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week, we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature, how to improve your life and your relationships, your health, your spirituality, and your personal self-esteem. Now, we're now in the era I call spring, love is in the air, where people talk about love and relationships and romance. And this is a beautiful time of the year when things are starting over in a good way. But there's a challenge that we have in relationships. This is something that's been becoming more prevalent, is what we call codependency. And today's topic is, are you caring or codependent? How to avoid a relationship catastrophe. Now, the term codependent became popular in the 80s when people were talking about spouses of people that were alcoholic or drug abusers. And they were called co-addicts. They would enable or keep the person doing the addiction by being overly supportive, overly caring, but not really challenging them to change. And then it became more of an emotional codependence in many ways. I consider it to be a caretaker gone to the extreme, when you use most of your time and energy trying to make another person happy at the detriment of your own emotional and physical health and happiness, which can result in depression, anxiety, and extreme stress. Now, codependency can be with a romantic partner, a spouse, or it could also be with a friend or even a family member. And this is the kind of situation where you try to enable someone or rescue them and try to help them when you suffer at the same time. So we're going to take what I call the codependency quiz. And Reggie, my producer, I want you to help me out on this. We want to find out, are you codependent? Are you in a relationship where you are sacrificing yourself for another person without receiving much in return? Now, again, this could be friends or romantic partners or even other people. Question number one, Reggie, do you spend a lot of your energy trying to meet another person's needs?
Not at the moment, but I did have a friendship, and I would find myself receiving messages from all hours of the day and night or whatever, and I'd feel pressure to respond to them, even if like I was working or whatever. Like, I just felt like the pressure to be at his beck and call.
Okay, Reggie, and how about question number two? Do you feel trapped, or overwhelmed, or helpless, or stressed in the relationship?
At the time, I did, kind of. Like I said, I felt that pressure, you know, to be at his beck and call.
Okay, so you did feel stressed and kind of like almost being trapped in that relationship.
Right.
Okay. And you're constantly making sacrifices, maybe changing your own schedule to meet their schedule, to do what they want to do. And also trying to help someone who is underachieving, irresponsible, or even addictive personality.
Yeah, actually, now I think about it, yeah, he was. He was, like, addicted to, like, getting thrills out of people, like, rises, you know? Like, not, like, meaningful interaction, but just, like, cheap thrills.
Okay, kind of harassing you to get a little bit of negative excitement.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So these are the elements of a codependent personality. Now, some of the symptoms that we see in a codependent personality are low self-esteem. They have a lot of shame and guilt. They're always trying to please the other person. They don't feel good enough. Perfectionism. They feel they're making mistakes in the relationship, and they have to correct the mistakes. Also, they're often inauthentic. They're not true to themselves. They're not true to who they really are. And part of that is being a people pleaser. Now, it's good to, you know, be a people person that wants people to feel good, but these individuals go overboard. They have a hard time saying no to things they don't want to do. Because they want to avoid conflict at all costs, they will go along with the other person, even if they don't really want to do that. And they often apologize for their behavior, even if they didn't do anything wrong. They feel they always have to please the person. They're afraid of being rejected by the other person. Now, the other part of being a codependent is that they can be very reactive. They become very defensive if the other person disagrees with them or doesn't go along with what they want them to do. So there's a sense of control, needing to control the other person for them to behave in a certain way. And what we call micromanagement, you know, having a very strict control over small tasks. Also, people that are codependent with a partner often have bad communication. Because they're afraid to be truthful and they don't want to hurt their relationship or make the other person upset, they may pretend to go along with something and they don't express their true feelings or their true needs. Also, they can become obsessed with the other individual, with the relationship, and what they think they should have done or said. They may have thought they made a mistake. So they're always thinking about the relationship, overthinking it. And they're often very dependent on an individual or even on a relationship itself. They always feel they need to be in a relationship to feel okay, to feel good about themselves, to feel loved. And they need to feel that the person loves them to a high degree. Now, the reasons why a person becomes codependent could be several. One is possibly emotional or physical abuse in childhood. When a child is abused physically or emotionally, they become very hyper alert to their parents' reactions, to their parents' cues. So they're always reading the parent. Are they angry? Are they upset? To avoid being harmed or being in danger. As adults, they continue doing that. They're always overly sensitive to other people's reactions, and they kind of tippy-toe around them. Another possibility as to why a person becomes codependent is that they had a codependent parent who was a role model for that behavior. Maybe this parent, it could have been the wife or husband, took care of an emotionally immature spouse, and they saw this going on, And they also develop that as adults as well. Or possibly the child had to care for a mentally or physically ill family member. And as a result, they became a mini adult. At a young age, they started to take on the parents' problems and illnesses emotionally as their own. Now, when we think about this whole idea of codependent, some people think it's a stigma or label that is maybe overly applied to relationships, because in some ways, caring can be good. Someone who's a caregiving person or people person, sensitive, is first of all generous emotionally and also with their time and energy. They have empathy. They can understand other people's feelings. They have compassion. They want to relieve suffering. And they provide others with a sense of security. People trust individuals that have this very strong caregiving personality. The problem is that when it becomes overboard, when it's not balanced, then the so-called caregiving person can become codependent, where their identity revolves around the other person. And they become very possessive. They can be very jealous. They don't want the person to go out with other people or do anything else. And also they have a lot of ups and downs in the relationship. When the other person doesn't express the love that they think they need, they feel unloved. They feel down. They feel lack of worth. So it's constantly changing. Also, people who are codependent may isolate themselves from family members or friends and focus solely on the relationship, solely on the person as their sole source of emotional happiness. And finally, the codependent person can have low self-esteem. They don't feel they're worthy of love. So they're constantly trying to gain that love by putting up with the bad behavior, emotional immaturity, or even addiction of that partner that they're with. So how do we break the pattern? Let's say you are in a codependent relationship. You're the kind of overly caring person that wants to rescue people, your partner, your soulmate, your husband or wife, and they don't change. So you're stuck in this relationship. You feel overwhelmed. You feel trapped. The first thing is to establish boundaries. And people who are codependent often have very poor boundaries. They don't know how to say no to what they don't want. And they go along with a lot of things, whether it's drug use, abuse, and also physical abuse, but also emotional abuse. So the codependent person needs to say, no, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm not going to tolerate. For example, when the other partner uses shame or guilt to make them do things. One of the favorite phrases of the codependent partner is, you don't love me. You don't really care about me. Otherwise, you would do what I want you to do. So the person who's codependent can say, no, it has nothing to do with love. This has to do with, I have my values and you have your values, and we need to respect each other. The other thing the codependent partner can do is to create a relationship history, whether they write it in a notebook, an iPad, a notebook, the history of their past relationships. For example, maybe their parents' relationships. Was that a codependent relationship in some way? Was one of them trying to save the other one? Or in their earlier relationships, maybe when they were younger, they started developing these kind of relationships where they want to help and rescue someone who has an addiction, an emotional problem, and it's very difficult because it takes away from their own inner nature. Once you realize your pattern, you can start to reconnect with your best you, with your ideal self. For example, engage in self-care. Now, sometimes codependent people are workaholics. They're always working. They may be someone that does housekeeping in the house or takes care of the bills, and they're constantly trying to do something for their partner. But they need to learn how to take time off, whether it's exercise, diet, sleep, a practice that can help them feel better about themselves. Maybe a massage, a facial, spend time doing stuff they love to do and being authentic. Their hobbies and interests, maybe they love working with their hands, writing, exercise, spiritual practice, meditation, being in nature with animals or children, whatever it is that is authentic to them and that rebuilds their spirit is very important for the codependent person to rebuild their own energy and their own inner nature. The other important thing is to practice direct communication, saying what they really feel, saying what they really need. Because many times a codependent person dances around what they want. They don't want to create conflict. They want everything to be smooth. So they go along with things that they don't really believe in. And they feel bad about themselves. They feel inauthentic. Another important thing for the codependent personality is to realize that they're not responsible for other people's reactions, for their partner's emotions. Sometimes a codependent person gets upset when their partner becomes angry. And they internalize that anger within themselves. And they feel they're somehow at fault for that. And I like to give the analogy of, imagine that you're in a zoo. And you see a roaring tiger, and tiger looks savage and fierce, but they're behind a cage. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm observing it. I'm safe. I'm behind this metal part. They can't hurt me. In the same way, say that this angry and perhaps even emotionally abusive partner can rant and rave all they want, but they're not going to hurt me because I have my own boundaries. I have my own safety, and there's nothing they can do to really bother me. And their reactions are not my responsibility. They are reacting from their own internal pain, their own internal anguish and needs. Another important thing for the codependent person to break free from the patterns of codependency is to find upwardly striving friends, friends who can provide them with a sense of emotional intimacy that they might not be receiving from their love or romantic partner. And at the same time, they're positive and they're striving in their own psychological and spiritual growth. And they can help them as well to inspire them to be positive, to develop a positive connection with these friends. And the other thing is that although giving is correlated with happiness based on studies, it's also important to be able to not just give, but to receive help. This is one thing that codependent people have a hard time doing, is to receive help from the universe and to ask for it. For example, whether you believe in spiritual practice like prayer, affirmations, law of attraction, start to ask the universe for things that you want, whether it's your relationship, your career, your finances, your health, and receive that help. And it could come from people you don't even know, from strangers, from other situations that just happen to you in a synchronicity way, which is meaningful coincidence. And be open to that. Be open to receiving things, because many times the codependent has a hard time receiving love, affection, and benefits. And finally, be self-compassionate. Forgive yourself for your so-called mistakes or errors. One of the biggest problems for codependent people is that because they're such givers, they often are hard on themselves. They chastise themselves for regrets and mistakes they may have made. So tell yourself, okay, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I stayed too long in that relationship. Or maybe I should have been in a different relationship or a different job. Or I should have stayed in this career that I really enjoyed and loved. Maybe I did a mistake, but I was at a different level. I was in second grade. Now, when you're in second grade, you make second grade mistakes. But now you say, I'm in college now. I've graduated. I'm at a higher point of view. I've learned things about myself. So I'm not going to make the same second grade mistakes. And I could not have done anything better because I was at that level at the time, psychologically and emotionally, but now and I'm at a higher level. So realize that you can educate yourself, you can grow, you can expand and keep learning, and you don't have to make the same mistakes. Because what happens is when you regret a mistake, you develop a certain sense of weakness. You chastise yourself. I should have done that. I'm a weak person. I'm not very strong. And you might repeat the same mistake again because you don't feel strong enough to do better. But when you forgive yourself, when you're compassionate with yourself and you love yourself, then you can say, I will move forward. I will improve and I will help other people as well. So what is our goal in relationships? Codependency is one extreme. Now, another extreme is total independence. In our society, that's happening a lot with men and women. We had John Gray on the show, famous author of Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus. We had a fantastic program. And he's talking about the idea that a lot of people, women as well, and men, are becoming more independent emotionally from each other. In our click here, click there, meet a new person society, people are impatient. They don't want to invest as much in an intimate relationship that has meaning. So they go from one person to the other and they say, I want to be independent. I don't want to rely on people. But that can be also a fool's gold because we do need to rely on each other at times emotionally and spiritually and connect with each other. So the goal is what we call interdependent, where we can rely on each other emotionally, whether it's a romantic partner, a spouse, a lover, a friend, but also have individuality. We can embrace our own differences. We can have respect for our different styles. Maybe one person is an introvert, one's an extrovert. One's more of an emotional, one's more logical. One's love science, one's love humanities or art. And that can be very exciting in a relationship to have certain differences as long as you have core values that are similar. So we're learning how to be interdependent, spending time together, but also spending a little bit of time apart, you know, doing some things that you enjoy and then coming back together and becoming stronger. Another important part of interdependence is the ability to express emotions authentically. And realize that you don't always have to agree with your partner or they don't have to agree with you, and you don't always have to please them. You can be maybe difficult at times in terms of their mindset because you have a certain stance and they can be difficult with you, but at the end you work it out because you want to have a harmonious relationship. But you are authentic. You express when you don't like something, you express when you like something, what you really need. Also, it's very healthy to find interdependent role models. Find couples, maybe been married for 30, 40 years that, you know, they have their hobbies and interests apart, but they also spend a lot of time together. They do a lot of things together. They help other people together. So they have a very healthy balance between independence and dependence on each other emotionally. And finally, have as your goal in a relationship to create light in the world. Light is something positive, a loving energy. And you're not just together with your partner for sex or companionship or even to start a family, but to create a long-lasting legacy of goodness, to have meaning and growth, whether it's through a business together, a charitable humanitarian activity, or just being wonderful and loving parents, friends, neighbors, members of the community. So when you have this higher purpose for your relationship, it changes everything. You no longer have to think, well, my self-esteem is tied up just with this individual. I can have my own self-esteem and they can have theirs, but we come together and we become stronger as a unit. We grow together and we give love because we have a lot of love to give. So the idea again is, interdependence is the new way to do things where you can combine individuality, a specialness, and also the love, the intimacy, and the connection where you can be blended together as one, but also individually as well. So a lot of university students, I recommend that you look at your relationships this week. And now maybe you're not codependent. Maybe you have some codependent elements. Maybe you sacrifice a little bit too much of yourself and you lose yourself in the relationship and you can pull back a little bit and have a better balance. And the idea is to have that relationship that is loving and also connected, but also supports each of you individually. So this week, go out and find that loving energy, give it to your partner and others, and have a wonderful week. Now, if you want to be on our show and you have any questions, you can write to us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. You can like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Love Letter U Podcast. Now, we have a new program that we call Love Type Soulmate Search. So if you want to meet your ideal partner, email us, write to us, and tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe send us a picture, and we can help compatibly match you either offline or on with someone that can resonate with your personality based on our system of love compatibility and personality types. So we're getting a lot of great responses, and a lot of people are really excited about this new program that we have because Love University is about loving yourself first, others, and a higher nature, and combining all three at one, and of course, helping you find that ideal person that resonates with who you really are. Until next time, Love University students, please put away your iBooks, your notepads, your pens, your pencils. And this is Dr. Avila. Until next time.